Radio Prague News.
The Public Affairs Party is in major disarray as allegations of corruption around Transport Minister Vít Bátta multiply. An emergency meeting of the Junior Coalition Party has splintered among in-party factions. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrives in Prague on Thursday. The Junior Coalition Party Public Affairs is in major disarray as calls for the resignation of unofficial leader and Transport Minister Vít Bátta have increased and divisions among party members appear to be quickly multiplying. The head of the party's parliamentary club, Christina Kocsi, has filed criminal charges against Mr. Bátta, reportedly because he gave her €500,000. Party chairman Radek Jón has accused Ms. Kocsi, a close aide, of seeking an in-party coup after learning she had met with Prime Minister and Civic Democrat chairman Petr Nečas on Thursday morning. Mr. Jón says that Ms. Kocsi ceased communicating with him since a special meeting on Tuesday, at which deputy chairman Jaroslav Škárka was expelled from the party. Public affairs literally fragmented on Thursday afternoon when a special meeting called for Thursday was commandeered by two, if not three, different party leaders in as many locations. The party's parliamentary club was to meet at 6 p.m. in the Chamber of Deputies. As that club is headed by Christina Kocsi, Chairman Radek Jón has asked the party MPs to assemble at party headquarters. The online edition of Pravo then writes that Vít Bátta has convened yet another meeting at his home. Eight members of the Public Affairs Party have reportedly promised to support the government, irrespective of the future of Transport Minister Bátta in it. The government would need at least seven to maintain a majority. Benjamin Netanyahu arrives in Prague on Thursday for the historic first visit of an Israeli prime minister to the Czech Republic. On Thursday, Mr. Netanyahu will be meeting with his counterpart, Petr Nečas, to discuss economic and scientific cooperation between the two countries, as well as the situation in North Africa and the Middle East peace process. On Friday, the two-time Israeli PM and Likud party chairman will be received by President Václav Klaus. The Czech Republic is generally considered one of Israel's major allies in the EU. Nonetheless, at least one civic association against the Israeli treatment of Palestinians is marking the visit with a series of protests throughout the week. Police are preparing top-level security measures for the two-day visit. Now turning briefly to the weather, at 25 degrees Celsius, temperature records are falling across the country. Conditions over the coming days, though, are expected to be partly cloudy with daytime highs between 14 and 17 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. In today's program, additional corruption allegations involving coalition party public affairs threaten the stability of the government. And we report on a rally outside the Syrian embassy in Prague in support of pro-democracy demonstrations in that country. And a little later in the program, a new tome captures the genius of pioneer Cubist architect Josef Gočar. That's all ahead. Corruption allegations against the junior member of the governing coalition Public Affairs are threatening to further unbalance a government that has seen its share of scandals over the past few months. Public Affairs Deputy Chairman Jaroslav Škárka was dismissed from the self-styled anti-corruption party on Tuesday after his claims that he was getting paid to ensure his silence on the party's financial dealings became public. Now, further allegations against party leader and transport minister Vít Bátta have unfurled speculation whether or not the government can weather the storm, or has to think of an alternative coalition scenario. Sarah Borufka has been following the story, and she joins me now in the studio. Sarah, could you bring us briefly up to date on what exactly has happened?
Sure, Jan. Well, it all started on Monday with an issue with a report printed in the weekly Respekt. In this report, Škárka is quoted as having said off the record, but the reporter secretly taped him saying this, that he receives 55,000 Czech crowns monthly for keeping quiet on details on party financing. And he also mentions having received a one-time payment of 170,000 Czech crowns from a leading figure in this party, Public Affairs, which is Transport Minister Vít Bátta. And this is, of course, a grave allegation, especially since Public Affairs are sort of a self-styled anti-corruption party. So Public Affairs reacted by dismissing Szkarka Tuesday evening. The situation then further escalated on Wednesday when Szkarka came forward and handed some materials to the Prague State Prosecutor's Office, including, for example, an envelope with 170,000 crowns in cash that he says have Barta's fingerprints on them. Barta, meanwhile, has denied all this. He appeared on TV claiming that the money was actually just a loan he had given to Szkarka.
So things are seem to be getting very messy regarding Public Affairs, but of course this scandal goes beyond just that party. What significance could this have for the current coalition government?
Well, Mladá Fronta and a number of other dailies reported on Thursday that the Civic Democrats and Topo 9 were already sort of playing out alternative scenarios for a government. One possibility would be a coalition just without Barta, maybe even without some members of Public Affairs, but it's difficult to say how they would be able to secure a majority. I actually spoke to political pundit Jiří Pehe before the show, and this is what he had to say.
The scandal surrounding Mr. Szkarka and Barta is quite significant for the government, simply because the stability of the smallest, the coalition party, the Public Affairs Party, which is in the center of this scandal, is important for the government. And if this party collapses or leaves the government or is expelled from the government, it would, of course, seriously influence the ability of this government to govern, or it would mean the end of the government.
Political analyst Jiří Pehe speaking there. Now, how has the Prime Minister himself, Petr Nečas, reacted to the allegations, for example, against Vít Bárta?
Well, he said on Thursday that he is taking this very, very seriously, but he is not willing to give the Public Affairs Party an ultimatum. Again, I asked Jiří Pehe about just that.
Mr. Nečas is in a precarious position because he knows that he cannot really issue any ultimatum, simply because the departure of the Public Affairs Party could mean the fall of the government. And therefore he has to be very, very careful, but of course he has to also be careful not to damage his public role even more than it's already been damaged by his weak position and indecisiveness, because this is a serious affair and he has to take a stand.
So not rather an unenviable position there for the Prime Minister. Sarah, the opposition, of course, is not remaining quiet on this whole issue.
They surely are not, Jan. The opposition, the Social Democratic Party, have called, of course, on Mr. Nečas to dismiss Barta, but they have also said that should the Public Affairs Party continue to disintegrate further, they will push for a vote of no confidence, so it could actually happen that the government would be put to the test after surviving a vote of no confidence in December. Again.
Okay, Sara Borovka reporting there on the scandal which has hit Public Affairs. Really a remarkable development on the stability of the government as well, which has 118 votes but finds itself in a precarious position right now. If you've been following the story, be sure to stay with us at Radio Prague. Our website is radio.cz for all the latest news. Now we turn to this story. Some two dozen members of the Syrian community in the Czech Republic staged a modest rally on Wednesday in front of the country's embassy in Prague. In the second such protest held in the Czech capital, they supported demands voiced by protesters across Syria, calling on the government there to stop the violence against its people. Jan Richter reports.
The word freedom in three languages, Arabic, Kurdish and Czech, resounded outside the Syrian embassy in Prague on Wednesday afternoon. Around 20 Syrian experts, along with several of their Czech friends, came there to protest against the Syrian government's violent suppression of demonstrators and to support their demands for freedom and democracy. One of the protesters was architect Haman Youssef, who settled in Prague more than 3 years ago.
The main demands are the lifting of the emergency law that is 48 years now since it was implemented in 1963, and until now it's emergency laws. And the immediate release of all political prisoners or prisoners of conscience, and to investigate all those responsible for more than 150 people died since the start of this uprising like 2 weeks ago.
Some people at the rally held photos of victims of the Syrian government's recent crackdowns on pro-democracy demonstrations. Others had signs calling for serious reforms in their country. Wednesday was the second time they showed up in front of the embassy. The first such rally was held last week, and another is planned for Friday. The protest was organized by Rashid Khalil, a Prague resident of over 20 years.
What's happening in Syria is mad. The regime was shaken to the core when people started calling for freedom. The government could not stand this and started shooting civilians.
Backed by the Czech branch of the human rights advocacy group Amnesty International, organizers attempted to hand a protest petition to embassy officials. But the building, guarded by the police, remained shut and no one came out to pick it up. Mr. Khalil says more rallies will follow until the government of President Bashar Assad begins with real reforms.
We want real change to take place in Syria. The president has promised some things, but people have no trust in the government or in the ruling party. We will continue until we feel that a real change has taken place and that times are changing.
Rashid Khalil estimates that there are several hundred Syrians living in the Czech Republic, but they only began to organize recently in reaction to the violence back home. Mr. Khalil himself has not been back to his native land in over 20 years and says it is his dream to return one day to see his home and to help build a new, democratic Syria.
My thanks to Jan Richter, who was at the Syrian embassy at that rally on Wednesday and reported there, so thanks to him. Now, we turn to our main feature for this day, which is Panorama, this time written and presented by Ian Willoughby.
In Prague's old town, on the corner of Celetna Street and Ovocný Trh, you will find the House of the Black Madonna, one of the most distinctive structures in a city known for its unparalleled mix of architectural styles. It was the first building in the rare Cubist style of architecture strongly associated with the city, and today houses a Cubist museum. Completed in the second decade of the 20th century, the House of the Black Madonna was designed by Josef Gacsár. It was the perfect venue, therefore, for the launch this week of the first extensive monograph dedicated to Gacsár, who lived from 1880 to 1945 and is regarded as one of the founders of modern Czech architecture.
I think he is one of the most important architects of first half of the 20th century because he was a representative of many styles of that period, from Art Nouveau through Cubism, very curious style which was born here in Prague, then Art Deco period and also avant-garde architecture in Functionalism. And in any period he created a fantastic type of architecture.
Architect and writer Zdeněk Lukáš is a member of the team of authors behind the freshly published tome. We discuss the work of Josef Gacsár at the restored Grand Café Orient on the first floor of the House of the Black Madonna. Lukáš told me the architect was known beyond the borders of his homeland during his lifetime.
He was respected also outside Czechoslovakia or Czech lands. For instance, in 1914, he was responsible for exhibition of Czech Werkbund in Cologne, Germany. And it was a presentation of Cubist art outside Bohemia. That's why it was very important and I think very influential to generation of German Expressionists.
What for you are his greatest buildings or greatest projects?
I think that one of the best is Black Madonna House. Now we are sitting in a famous cafe, which was redesigned by plans of Josef Gočar because the original furniture was destroyed during 20s. This is an example of cubism in architecture, style which was born here in Prague in 1911 thanks to Gočar's friend and colleague Pavel Janák. And maybe this is one of the best examples of this very expressionist style of that era, which was finished in 1912.
Thanks to its location, a short walk from Prague's Old Town Square, the House of the Black Madonna is the example of Gočar's work that visitors to the Czech Republic are most likely to see. But there are several other gems to be found, both in the capital and in towns like Hradec Králové and Pardubice.
Another leading project is Wenke department store, which was designed by him in 1909 in a small town of Jaroměř, which was one of the first European examples of pre-constructivist buildings with light glass facade. Or during 20s, he was the author of Legio Bank building here in Prague, which is also a very important monument of that era.
That was the Legionnaires Bank.
Yes. And also his late project of Church of St. Wenceslas in Praha-Vršovice is one of the best examples of modern architecture in Europe. And many of his projects were presented also in foreign magazines of architecture of that era. And he was also mentioned in a Macmillan Encyclopedia of Modern Architects. Is one of about three or four Czechoslovak people.
Am I right in thinking that this cafe we're sitting in the House of the Black Madonna, is the only Cubist cafe in the world?
Of course, this is the only Cubist cafe in the world. One cafe was also in Budapest, but it was destroyed. And there are also two original Cubist interiors of two churches, one in Prague and one near Prague, but no another Cubist cafe like this.
The new book on Josef Gočar is an impressive publication to say the least. At over 400 pages, it features more than 500 pictures and photographs, along with many designs and plans. The latter include fascinating plans for projects that were never realized, like an extension to Prague's Old Town Hall and a state gallery intended for either Kampa or Letná. Very coolly designed, the monograph is hefty too, weighing several kilos, and it sells for 2,500 crowns, or $135. The book contains several sections focusing on various aspects of Gočar's work. The part dedicated to the architect's interiors is written by Daniela Karasová, who's been curator of the Cubist furniture collection at Prague's Museum of Decorative Arts for 2 decades.
Já jsem ovšem za tu dobu de facto měla vždycky Gočára spojeného s...
For all that period, I'd associated Gočar with Cubism. But while working on this amazing book, I spent many hours in the archive of the Technical Museum and came into contact with members of some of the families for whom Gočar created designs, the interiors. I learned a lot, for instance, about his pre-Cubist period.
Mrs. Karasová says Josef Gočar was designing his remarkable interiors for a select group of clients.
Byli to prostě intelektuálové pražští, byli to lidi, kteří si dokázali, měli odvahu si nechat.
They were Prague intellectuals. They had the courage to order cubist furniture for their homes, and this furniture was strongly criticized at the time. Caricatures were published poking fun at both Gočar and those he designed interiors for. In one such comic strip, somebody lies down on one of his sofas and breaks his arm, gets a lump on his head, and things like that.
Josef Gočar is said to have avoided writing or speaking much about his work, and he's quoted as saying, "Whoever says too much feels too little." But according to Zdeněk Lukáš, this apparent reticence didn't prevent him from conveying his vision to the generations that followed him.
I think he was a nice man, very respected by a younger generation of architects, and one of the best teachers of architecture. He taught in Academy of Art after his professor Jan Kotěra, and he was very successful. For instance, some of his students also studied in a technical university in Prague, but then they moved to Gočar's School of Architecture for 1 or 2 years. Especially, he was very important for avant-garde generation of architects of 20s and 30s, and some of them also collaborated on some projects of Gočar, like for instance Alois Wachsmann, who was also a famous painter of surrealistic period.
And the highly respected architectural historian Zdeněk Lukáš ends that edition of Panorama, which was first broadcast on Radio Prague last year. And, of course, it was written and presented by Ian Willoughby. You're listening to Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech Radio. Don't forget, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, you can do so easily by writing to us here at the station. The address on the internet is english@radio.cz, or you can write to our street address, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Now we turn to today's final feature, which is Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics, and this episode is by Daniela Lazarová.
Dneska je velký první letní den a venku slyším zpívat šťastný ptáky. Usnul jsem v autě, měl jsem zvláštní sen, valí se kamení na jasný vágy. Dneska je velký první letní den.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course in which you can pick up useful phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the group Vanastovy Věci and is called Velký první letní den, that great first day of summer. The phrase to listen out for is Láska bez paruží.
Láska bez paruží, plavou lásku, chci osedlat. Žádný strach, jsem gentleman, je advokát. Bábím u někli sen, jo, tak to já by sem.
Láska bez paruží translates as love without antlers. This requires a little explanation, I think. The Czech word for a cuckold is paroháč, or a man with antlers. A man whose wife or girlfriend sleeps around grows a pair of antlers, which everyone can see but the poor besotted cuckold. In Czech, you will also hear the expression nasadila mu parohy, meaning she crowned him with antlers. And apart from being whispered, the expression is easily mimed behind the person's back, usually at the pub. A nightmare for any man, as you can imagine. Not surprisingly, the singer is singing about love without antlers, láska bez paruží.
Energie boží, láska bez paruží, plavou lásku chci osedlat. Žádný strach, jsem gentleman, je advokát. Bábí mu někli sen, jo, takhle já by sem.
There are several other ways of saying that someone is unfaithful. The most common is oni zahnul or ona mu zahnula. In other words, he or she swerved off the straight path. If you hear someone saying zahnete doleva, they're giving someone directions and saying turn left. But if they say zahnula simi, in other words, did you swerve? You can almost certainly expect a stormy argument. In our song, the singer is singing about that heady first day of summer when birds sing, girls flout their beauty, and he smells estrogen in the air. Love without antlers seems a very unlikely prospect, but as the guy says, he is discreet and a gentleman. Guys or girls who are inclined to swerve, chodí na zálety. In other words, they are flighty. And a rather vulgar expression you might hear about a woman is ona mu zanáší, which is derived from female birds, originally hens, laying their eggs elsewhere, which inevitably means that her guy will grow a fine pair of antlers. And of course, there's a big risk of that happening on the very first day of summer when estrogen is in the air and girls flout their beauty. Je tu hlad, energie boží, láska bez paroží, tmavou lásku chci osedlat. Žádný strach, jsem gentleman, je advokát, baví mě klisen, jo, takhle já bys... But not to worry, it's mid-December and everyone is bundled up. And if the worst comes to the worst, antlers really are invisible. Thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou. Kdo se neprobudí, leští karabiny, láska, destilát, nakrmit a ukojí, když je tu hlad. Energie boží, láska bez paroží, tmavou lásku chci osedlat. Žádný strach, jsem gentleman, jen advokát. Baví mě klisen, jo, takhle já by jsem, s tebou by jsem byl.
Daniela Lazarova and Soundcheck brings us to the end of today's show. I'm Jan Bellinger. Thanks for joining us this day, and take care.